Well, in our gospel this Sunday, Jesus asks his disciples a question that I think in a very real sense is the most important question we can answer. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Now, notice Jesus doesn't begin by asking the disciples what they might think about this teaching or that teaching. He doesn't ask them their opinion on whatever the latest controversy is. He brings everything back to one fundamental question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And Peter gives the answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that confession is the foundation of everything. Now, there are many things people want to discuss when it comes to Christianity and the Catholic faith. They may have questions about the Eucharist or Mary or marriage or sexuality or any number of other teachings of the church. Right? Those questions matter. But before we get to any of them, we have to begin here. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And if Jesus is merely a great teacher, then ultimately we can take it or leave it, whatever his teachings are. If he's simply some kind of religious reformer, then his teachings can be placed alongside all other competing ideas in the world at any time. But if Peter is right, if Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then everything changes. Everything changes. If Jesus is truly the Son of God who became man, is truly Lord and Savior, truly born of the Virgin Mary, died and rose from the dead, then his words matter. His words matter. His commands matter. His promises matter. And the church he established matters. And that's precisely what we see after this in our gospel reading. Jesus says to Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. Now notice how our Lord gets there. Now first, who is Jesus? Right? And Peter confesses who he is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then, what has Jesus given us? Well, he's given us his church. He's given us his church. And this is important because Christianity has never been simply a private relationship between me and Jesus. Right? You'll hear sometimes people say, you know, well, I'm spiritual, or maybe I believe in Jesus, but I'm not religious. Well, that sounds nice, but Jesus never gives us that option. Jesus didn't leave us with, like, say, a book and tell every individual Christian to just go figure everything out on their own. Now, for that matter, Jesus didn't leave a book, right? The Catholic Church compiled the sacred scriptures, right, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He established a church. Our Lord Jesus established a church, a visible communion of believers with apostles and authority and teaching, sacraments and shepherds. And at the center of that church, Jesus gives Peter a particular role. Our first reading from Isaiah helps us understand just how significant this is. In the household of the King of David, there was a chief steward who exercised authority in the king's name. And the king would give him the key to the house of David. And that key was a sign of entrusted authority. So when Jesus, the Son of David, says to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, his Jewish disciples in his presence would have understood this imagery very well. Right? Jesus is establishing his kingdom, and he's entrusting a particular authority to Peter. And that's the foundation of the ministry of the Pope, the ongoing ministry of Peter, the Rock, the Petra, the Kephas, the Holy Father, the Pope at the service of the unity and the faithfulness of the church. Of course, Peter himself wasn't perfect. In fact, if we read ahead from this gospel passage, just a few verses later, Jesus will call Peter a stumbling block. The original Greek, skandalon, or a rock, which is a cause for stumbling. When Peter objects to the cross, Peter could be weak, right? He would misunderstand. He would even fail badly. And yet, the history of the papacy certainly reminds us that popes are human beings. Popes are human beings. The promise of Jesus isn't that every pope will be a perfect man. The promise is that Christ will not abandon his church. He will not abandon his church. The gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Now, what an extraordinary promise. And it's why, as Catholics, we can say in the Creed, as we will in a few moments, that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We don't simply believe in Jesus and then happen to belong to an organization that he founded. We believe in Jesus because he has given us himself, and we believe in his church because he is the head, the visible church, with her bishops, the sacraments, teaching, and communion, with the successor of Peter, is a gift that Christ has given us. The church is a gift that Christ himself has given us. And this helps us understand, too, something beautiful we heard in our readings last Sunday. You know, how the mercy of God is far-reaching. The mercy of God is far-reaching. Indeed, God desires the salvation of every person. As we hear in sacred scripture, that his mercy isn't limited just to the people we might expect. That his grace can reach into hearts and lives in ways that might surprise us. And we should rejoice whenever we see that grace at work. And of course, there's an important truth we always have to hold together with that. Right? There are not multiple independent paths to salvation. Right? There is one Savior. One Savior, Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So even when God's mercy reaches someone in ways that are hidden from us, it's still Christ's mercy. It's still Christ's mercy. Every person who is saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross and resurrection. And Christ didn't leave us to make our way to him by ourselves. He established a church, right? The one holy Catholic and apostolic church, which is the ordinary and fullness of the means of salvation Christ has given to the world. Here in his church, he has given us the fullness of the gospel, the sacraments, the apostolic faith, and the shepherds entrusted with guarding and handing on that faith. And this is why the church matters so much. This is why the church matters so much. God's mercy isn't a pass that simply overlooks sin. God's mercy transforms us. It calls us out of sin and into holiness. And that mercy asks something of us in response, right? Faith, repentance, and a willingness to follow Christ. And this is precisely why we need the church. We need the truth she teaches, because we're tempted at times to wander away into error. And we need the sacraments, especially the healing mercy of confession and the gift of Christ himself in the Holy Eucharist. And we need the grace and guidance Christ gives us through his church. Christ's mercy is offered in and out of the visible church. But an encounter with Christ's mercy always requires a response. It has to be responded to in order for the salvation which our Lord desires to be attained. There must be a response. And Christ has given us his church as the sure and ordinary means by which he wants to bring us to salvation. In fact, our Lord himself warns us that the way is not easy, right? He speaks of the narrow gate, right? That following Christ requires conversion, right? It requires perseverance and grace. And thanks be to God that he's given us his church, right? The easiest and most direct way for us to attain the salvation that he desires for us, right? Christ wanted to make it as easy as possible. So in his great mercy, he's given us his church. He's given us the truth, himself, capital T, truth himself, truth incarnate, which brings us into the fullness of the faith and the salvation that he desires for us and helps us to more easily live out our lives in faithfulness in order to attain the salvation he desires for us. It helps us to more easily respond to the offer of mercy that he's given to us. And if the journey is difficult, even with the fullness of the church's help, how much more urgent is our responsibility than to share the gospel and invite others into the fullness of the life Christ has given us? God's mercy reaches further than we can see at times. But wherever that mercy reaches, it's Christ's mercy. It's his mercy. And Christ's grace, his mercy, is never disconnected from Christ himself or from the church he's established. Which brings us back to that first reading. That first question, rather, that we hear in our gospel. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Because if Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then everything matters. Right? His church matters. His teaching matters. The Holy Eucharist matters. Repentance matters. Our moral lives matter. Our salvation matters. And if Christ has really given us his church, then we should want to know her, to love her, and to remain faithful to her. That's one of the reasons I'm especially excited, once again, as we begin our new year of OCIA, Order of Christian Initiation of Adults, for those seeking to become classes, as those sessions begin soon on September 13th. And what a blessing it is to have many of you, I know even in this congregation this morning, who've went through OCIA in recent years, received full initiation into the Catholic Church. Every one of you was invited. You were being invited, and you responded. Right? Becoming Catholic is truly a response to God's invitation, right? To an invitation to follow him in a journey, not to a destination, but to a person, right? To the person of Jesus Christ. And so if you are someone who's been thinking about becoming Catholic or know someone, this is an invitation. This is an invitation. Perhaps you've been away from the church and are wondering, you know, whether it's time to come home. Or perhaps you're already Catholic, but have never been fully initiated into the sacramental life of the church. OCIA is for you. And I want to remind you, OCIA isn't only for those who aren't yet Catholic. Right? Catholics, all of us, are very welcome to participate in our OCIA sessions. You know, maybe you're a cradle Catholic, right? And maybe someone who feels at times like your religious formation ended somewhere earlier in your life. Come. You know, maybe if you want to refresh the basics or deepen your understanding of the faith or become more confident in sharing the faith with family or friends, or simply just to journey alongside those who are discovering the Catholic faith, come. And I've heard many Catholics say that being part of OCIA, sometimes as a sponsor or simply just as a participant in OCIA, just attending the sessions, has renewed their own faith in ways they never expected. You know, it is in a real sense, it's Catholic 101, but so much more. Our OCIA coordinator, Rob Guarini, will be available after Mass for anyone who would like more information or to sign up. But again, everyone is welcome to just participate and join us for these classes. Brothers and sisters, ultimately, this isn't about defending an institution, the Catholic Church, for its own sake, right? It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds by giving Peter the keys and promising that the powers of hell shall not prevail against his church. Now that church has endured now for nearly 2,000 years. Right? Not because her members or her leaders have always been perfect or holy, but because she is holy. That's why we say in the Creed, one holy Catholic Church. She is holy because her head is holy. Jesus is holy. And he is faithful. He is faithful. So when the world is confusing, when the culture is changing, even you know, when things are within the church can sometimes disappoint us, let us remember Christ's promise. This is his church. He has not abandoned her. He has not abandoned us. And the same Jesus who asked Peter that question asks each one of us, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? May our answer always be the answer of Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And having made that confession, may we remain faithfully with Christ, faithfully within his church, and faithfully united with the successor of Peter, our Holy Father, Pope Leo, trusting that the Lord who founded his church will never abandon her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.